Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality, certified pros at Angie.com.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time. It all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. That's right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Coming up in the third and final hour of the show, we'll preview the Tennessee Titans with Elijah Molden, their safety. And Jake Chaney from the Wisconsin football team is going to stop by as well. But it is a Thursday today. Usually we do onside, offside on Monday and Fridays. But since I am not here tomorrow, we're going to do a little onside, offside today. Santa's got some questions for me. I'll give you some answers, and we get started right now.
Zach's taking on the most polarizing issues in sports. Which side of the line of scrimmage will he end up on?
Offside. Defense number 69.
It's Onsides, Offsides with Zach Gelb.
By the way, Samter, I have an onside, offside question to you here first. There is something in the past that you've told me you are a big fan of. And don't worry, it's not Green Day. Okay, this is not Green Day related. But in the past, you've told me that you're a big fan of this person. And I've been invited to something that this person does coming up at the end of August. So I think it's going to happen. The details will get firmed up in a few weeks from now. But the invite is just for me to this event. So onside or offside, am I a bad friend not telling you right now what the event is or just waiting a few weeks to then tell you on the air about where I'm going to be going to?
I mean, if you're not inviting me, then you're a bad friend no matter when you tell me. But either way.
Well, I'm not in a position to invite you.
Mm-hmm.
This was just someone contacted me and they said, I've listened to you for a long time. This person happens to be super duper successful in his or her craft. And they're inviting me to something, and they're just inviting me.
I mean, you know, if they're reaching out to you directly, it's not hard to say, hey, you know, I know someone else who would love to come, but it's cool.
I'm just being nice. I'm giving you the nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you something could happen where you're going to be mad at me when I tell you what it is where I'm going to.
No, I mean, listen, you know, we talk about, you know, taking Ray Martell to the Poconos, and we talk about and the wing plays.
I didn't take Ray Martell to the Poconos.
Or going
Ray
to
and I went to a Bills-Patriot game. He paid his own way. I paid my own way.
Yeah, and you guys go to, like, this great wing place. You took Hickey to, you know, cool little events also.
Where did I take Hickey to? Every time I've offered to take Hickey somewhere, he's like, I'm good.
No, you told me that you and Hickey, you know, you took him to some sporting event of some sort that you and Hickey went together. Maybe
Stu,
for his birthday.
I went to a Met Yankee game.
Oh, there you go, Stu.
But yeah, you were out.
It's cool. Like, you take everyone else to all these events, and then you rub it in my face that you're going to an event of someone who I love, who I don't know who it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't extend the invite. I'd rather not know where you're going, you know.
Well, it's not sealed, signed, and delivered yet. So I don't want to tell you where I'm going, and then it doesn't happen, and then it makes that person look bad or it makes me look bad. So I'm just going to float it over your head, and then when I'll tell you, then we'll tell you and break your heart.
Appreciate that. I'll sit here with bated breath crying in the corner while I wait to find out what cool person or event I'm not going to be able to go to see.
This one is really, I think, going to agitate you. Because it goes back to a younger Michael Santer. That's your hint. It's something that you said before when I mentioned this person, the connection that I have to this person, just based off the person listening to me.
Now I know. I hate you.
You're like, oh, man, that would be really cool.
You know.
No, don't say it.
I don't have many opportunities to find love, even though I've already found love. And apparently this is an opportunity for me to find love, and you're denying
me
that
opportunity. But you're married. What do you mean? You're married.
You know, it's called the hall pass, buddy. It's called the hall pass.
Okay. I think you're warm. I think you're in the right ballpark.
I know exactly who it is.
No, I don't think you're totally there, but we'll get to it at a later date. Anyway, let's get some questions. I'll give you some answers. We still got to show up and do our jobs today.
All right. Well, listen, one of these days, I'm just going to wear a name tag that says Zach Gelb, and so I'll show up as you, and no one will know the difference.
Well, there's some security problems in this country, as we've seen.
Yep.
So I would usually say that no one would believe that you are me because there is a big size difference.
But they don't know what you look like, most likely. I mean, maybe the person who's inviting you knows what you look like, but no one else is going to know.
Oh, this person definitely knows what I look like.
All right, sweet. Yeah. Now, the Giants have been featured
on... But I'll take a photo and then maybe send it to you.
If you take a photo with this person and send it to me, you and I are never talking again. The Giants have been featured on HBO's...
Chris, you want to be the next producer of the show? I guess we're going to have an opening.
I guess I produce the show without ever talking to you.
Well, that wouldn't be healthy. That wouldn't be good.
That sounds Chernobyl-level toxic.
Yeah, that would not be good if you would not have any correspondence with me.
You know what? I think it'll be fun. Let's do like a week of shows where neither of us talk to each other at all. No communication, no planning, no organizing. We just sit down and just see what happens.
I will do that for 3 days.
All right.
I'll tell you the 3 days right now. July 25th, July 26th. I'll even extend it 2 more days into the weekend, the 27th, 28th, and the 29th of July when I'm off.
Sweet.
Okay? You don't have to talk to me then.
All right. Well, now listen, let's get actually back to Onside Offside because the Giants have been featured on HBO's Hard Knocks this offseason. It's actually been really interesting. And we've gotten plenty of juicy tidbits from the show. On this week's episode, Giants owner John Mara had this to say about the Saquon free agency situation.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not. Which I don't know. I'll make a couple of calls. I don't even know if that's going to happen, but.
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philly. I'll tell you that. As I've told you, just being out. I've been around enough players. But he's the most popular player we have by far.
Yeah.
Now, Onside, Offside, John Mara has looked bad in Hard Knocks.
I'm going to say offside, and here's why.
Offside!
I look at John Mara. He clearly wanted to bring back Saquon Barkley. So this idea of the Giants have to build so much more of their team, paying that much money to a running back doesn't make sense. Now, he's allowed, right? He owns the team. He's allowed to give his opinion. But he didn't force Joe Shane to make an offer that he didn't want to make. And they never made that last offer to Saquon Barkley. They gave him the offer from 2023 and never gave him an offer, I guess, from what we've seen in the show in 2024. So, yes, I can see why people say John Mara looks bad, but I made this point the other day when talking to a buddy. A good owner lets his people make those calls. like the football people. You can give your opinion, you can give your thoughts, and John Mara gave those thoughts and opinions, but ultimately, it was clear Joe Shane, after it didn't get done in 2023, wasn't going to get a deal done with Saquon in 2024 and was fine with that. And John Mara, even though he made it known what he wanted to have happen, did not force Joe Shane to do something that he didn't do. So that's why I don't think John Mara looks bad here at the end of the day. Next question.
Now, Caleb Williams was the clear number one overall pick, but the buzz around number two, Jaden Daniels, continues to pick up. This week, ESPN's Booger McFarland made an interesting prediction about the top two quarterback picks.
Don't be surprised if midway through the season, we're having a conversation very similar to what we had last year, meaning the number two pick, Jaden Daniels, looks better than the number one pick, Caleb Williams. Just like we had last year with C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, because there are a lot of people out of Washington telling me that this young man, Jaden Daniels, not only does he look the part, his teammates know he looked the part. And I think Caleb Williams is going to struggle, and I think Jaden Daniels is going to come out the gate flying. And we're going to have this conversation, Greeny. Mark it down, July the 16th, whatever it is, it's 100 degrees. Did the Chicago Bears make the right pick? We're going to have this conversation again.
He said that yesterday?
I believe so. It was either yesterday or Monday.
And he said July the 16th. Today's July the 18th.
Yes.
I think this was yesterday, though, on July the 17th.
So he was neither right nor wrong nor accurate nor anything.
But it's 100 degrees. It's hot out.
Well, you know what, though? Forget the date. Let's actually take the content of his message onside, offside.
Wait, I actually think I'm going to start referring to July as July.
July.
I like how Booger McFarland said that.
Let's do it. Now, onside, offside, Jaden Daniels will have a better rookie season than Caleb Williams.
I'm going to say offside, and here's the reason why.
Offside.
I'm not saying that Jaden Daniels doesn't have a good surrounding environment, because he does have Terry McLaurin, and I think Jahan Dotson's going to be a good wide receiver there. And maybe they go get Brandon Ayuk in that division. Cowboys could be down. There's a question mark on the Eagles, even though I still think the Eagles win that division. So maybe the Commanders end up going like 8-9, 9-8, or contending for a wild card spot. Your mic's on. So that's like a possibility that Jaden Daniels could have like one of those seasons where it's better than what you expect. But Caleb Williams is set up in a great spot. A great spot. With like no Bears quarterback has been set up in maybe forever. Like you look, you got Keenan Allen, you got Rome Odunze, you got DJ Moore. That's just phenomenal. So I think Williams really going to pop off this year. So Jaden Daniels will have a better season than Caleb Williams. I'm going to go offside there. All right, next one.
ESPN released its list of top 10 receivers in the NFL with Seahawks DK Metcalf coming in 8th overall. In 5 seasons, Metcalf is averaging 1,100 yards and 9 touchdowns per season. It's insane. Though Seattle added Buckeye star Jackson Smith and Jigba last year, along with 3-time All-Pro Tyler Lockett, who's already been on the team for quite a while. Onside, offside, if you were the Seahawks and you can keep just 2 of those 3 great receivers, you would take JSN and Lockett.
I'm a Lockett stan. And DK Metcalf is very, 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 very good. I think it's a debate if he's even a top 10 wide receiver, though, in the NFL. But DK Metcalf is significantly younger. I know they just reworked the deal for Lockett. So I ultimately think they'll get rid of him long term. And they'll keep Jackson Smith and Jigba, who I'm a big fan of, as long as he can stay healthy, and DK Metcalf. So if you were the Seahawks and could keep just 2 of these wide receivers, it would be JSN and Lockett. I would go offside.
Now, after four poor outings, that's a tough word. Four poor outings.
You're having a rough segment, by the way.
After 4 poor outings in the summer league that saw Bronny miss all 15 of his 3-point attempts, the Lakers rookie finally had a breakout game. Bronny scored 12 points in 5-11 shooting.
And was mic'd up.
Including 2 of 5 from behind the arc. And a clutch 3 to tie the game late, even though they lost. Or they eventually won, I'm sorry. And here was Bronny after the game talking about finally coming through.
Just trying to forget about all the shots I missed, forget about all the games we lost. Just come out, you know, play my game and try to do my best every time I come on the court. So that's what I did tonight, and it ended up well.
Now, onside, offside, Bronny will play at least 30 games for the big boy Lakers this season.
Oh, great question. Great question. I think there will be some G League work. LeBron's definitely going to have him there for some games, because that's LeBron's dream, to play on the same NBA team with his son. LeBron runs that team, though. could there be an injury? Could they use an injury as an excuse where he doesn't actually play that many games, I guess? Now, like, actually being on the bench or actually getting into the game?
No, like being on the Lakers roster.
I'm going to say on sides. And guys, come on. I'm going to say on sides because LeBron wants that. All right, next question.
After losing the college football playoff semis last year, Texas is expected to be a top five team again and make a run for their first national title since 2005. Another blue chip program with high expectations is Florida State, who missed the playoffs despite being undefeated last year and are looking for their first title since 2013 with Jameis Winston. So onside, offside, both Texas and Florida State are fully back to being perennial national title contenders in college football.
I'm going to say offside. I think Texas is a national championship contender this year. Florida State, I think, will be a playoff team. They're both in great spots, better spots than they've been in a long time, with Texas making the college football playoff last year and winning the Big 12 championship. Florida State was undefeated, but they got squeezed out because of the quarterback injuries. But perennial national title contenders, I just think that's such an exclusive club. Like, we went through it yesterday. I think there's only four teams that I actually think can win a championship this year. Texas is being one of them, then Oregon being another, and then obviously the two big boys being in Georgia and Ohio State. So it's not me trashing Texas or FSU. I just said Texas could go win a championship, and I love Mike Norvell of Florida State, and I hope he does a great job sticking it to Dabo Sweeney once again with DJ Uiagalelei now as his quarterback. But perennial national title contenders in college football, I'm not there yet, even though both programs are in a great spot.
And it brings up an interesting question that maybe we can dive into later in the offseason. Some of the other big-name programs that have fallen off that might come back. Could Miami come back? Clemson?
Big year for Mario Cristobal.
Could we ever see Nebraska with your boy Matt Rhule getting back to national prominence? So there's a lot of big blue-chip programs that are down that might be seeing some rejuvenation, but we'll visit that later on in the offseason. Caitlin Clark continues to impress in her rookie season, breaking the WNBA all-time record for most assists in a game, dropping 19 dimes in last night's loss to Dallas. However, the sharpshooting rookie will apparently not compete in the All-Star three-point shootout this weekend, and neither will defending champ Sabrina Ionescu, who had that epic showdown with Steph Curry at the NBA All-Star game.
Was this both their decisions?
You know, I don't know.
It can't be the league's decision. No way, right?
I mean, I'm assuming that they just, you know, maybe between the Olympics and everything else going on, they just want a break. Well, I don't know.
Caitlin Clark's not on the Olympic team, though.
Yeah, maybe for Sabrina. Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, maybe for Caitlin, she just wants to kind of take a break and kind of, you know, rest up a little bit emotionally, mentally. She's been taxed like crazy.
Yeah.
Straight from the national championship game, right into the draft, right into the season. She really hasn't had a chance to take a break, but this seems like a miss here. So onside, offside, it is inexcusable that Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu are not competing in the three-point contest.
As long as it's their choice and there's not something that we don't or have not been told here, I'm going to say onsides here. Like, you want to talk about bringing more eyeballs to the TV sets. I'm not watching the WNBA All-Star game. You tell me, though, we have a three-point contest with Sabrina Ionescu and Caitlin Clark, I'm going out of my way to watch that, because that would be really damn cool. I hope next year at the NBA All-Star game, you get Sabrina, you get Caitlin Clark, you get Dame and Steph participating in a three-point shootout. But I'm going to go onsides that, yeah, from what we know right now, which is little, that it's inexcusable that Clark and Ionescu aren't competing in the three-point contest. Let me also just say this. There was like a two-week stretch, and I was a part of this, so I'll raise my hand and admit that I got it wrong, where it looked like maybe Angel Reese could win Rookie of the Year. It is so obvious Caitlin Clark is not only going to win Rookie of the Year, but I said this at the time, and I'll say it again on this second part, what I'm about to say. It's a flat-out joke that she's not on the Olympics team. You can't tell me that she wasn't worthy of a spot, what she's been able to do so far in college and what she's been able to do so far in her young career. So that's where we'll leave it at that. Onside, offside, this is Zach Yelp Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. When we come on back, there is a top 32. All 32 coaches have been ranked. We'll give you the top 10 NFL head coaching rankings. And one coach who has won a Super Bowl that really stood out to me. I have no problem with him not being in the top 10. But he was lucky on this list to be included in the top 20. He's almost squeezed out of the top 20. We'll tell you who that coach is when we come on back.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality certified pros at Angie.com.
Have you ever covered a carpet stain with a rug? Ignored a leaky faucet? Pretended your half-painted living room is supposed to look that way? Well, you're not alone. We've all got unfinished home projects. Whether it's a door that sticks, or a disorganized closet, or an AC unit that only works half the time. It all matters. You just haven't taken care of it yet. But there's an easier way. Just download the Thumbtack app. You can search for what you need done and find tons of highly rated pros right in your neighborhood. Check prices, reviews, and book a pro right on the spot. Plus, you'll know what to tackle next, because Thumbtack is the app that shows you what to do, who to hire, and when. Pull out your phone, and in just a few taps, say goodbye to all those unfinished home projects, and say hello to caring for your home the easier way. Download Thumbtack and start a project today.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimum supply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC. Member NYSE SIPC.
It is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I saw that CBS Sports put out a all 32 head coach rankings entering this season. So in at number 10 was Kevin Stefanski, the two-time coach of the year. In at number 9 was Sean McDermott of the Buffalo Bills. At 8 was Dan, I'll rip your kneecaps off, Campbell. At number 8 with the Detroit Lions. 7, Jim Harbaugh back in the NFL, coming over from college, now with the Chargers. 6 was Mike Tomlin. 5 was Matt LaFleur. I like Matt LaFleur. 5, though? The 5th best coach in the NFL? A little surprising to me. John Harbaugh was in at 4. Kyle Shanahan was in at 3. Sean McVay, 2. And in at number 1, bum-ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-bum, Andy Reid. So, I'm actually glad that CBS Sports didn't put Sean Payton in the top 10. Because Sean, you could argue, has a Hall of Fame resume. Sure. Sean, with what he did with the Saints, was remarkable. Right? Made the Aints into the Saints, pretty much. And what he did for that city and that organization, along with Drew Brees, was phenomenal. But the last 2 years, I think Sean has done some big damage to his brand. And you look at what has transpired with Sean Payton, and I'm talking about the final year with the Saints, why he walked away, and then he comes back. And then in year one, there were some ups and some downs, but he didn't get along with Russell Wilson right away. And I just like thought to myself, why don't you just sit out another year and then take another job after that? Because I didn't really think that this Broncos job was all that desirable. But even with that being said, and I'm not a big fan of Sean Payton right now in the year of 2024, when I saw where he ranked, my jaw kind of hit the floor. They made him the 18th ranked coach in the NFL. Like, you don't want to put him in the top 10. I'm with you. He's not in my top 10. But you can't tell me that there's 17 coaches that are better than Sean Payton. So Mike McDaniel was 11. Kevin O'Connell is 12. He's coached 2 years in the league. Don't get me wrong. Really good year one. Then didn't have a quarterback last year because Kirk got hurt. And they were a fine team. But it's not like you need to put him as the 12th best coach in football right now. DeMeco Ryans was 13. Zach Taylor, 14. Nick Sirianni, 15. And I know Sirianni's made the playoffs 3 straight years. And I know Nick Sirianni had that team in a Super Bowl, but he's basically told you, you know, I'm just there to babysit everybody. And the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, they really run the show. And his offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator weren't up to par last year. Now they have new guys there in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio coming in. And that locker room was 10-1 and it crumbled. They won one game down the stretch. Doug Peterson in at 16. Doug is a heck of a coach. If they didn't regress last year, Doug probably has to be in the top 10. Won a Super Bowl in Philly without a quarterback, you know, without his starting quarterback, and had to go to Nick Foles. And year one walked in and made the Jaguars a playoff team, but then they regressed last year. And then 17 is Mike McCarthy. Santa, I know you're a big Sean Payton defender, and you're I don't want to say sycophant, but you like Sean Payton a lot. I'm okay not putting him in the top 10, but to make it borderline of him being in the top 20 at 18, Steichen was 19, Dan Quinn was 20. That's even a little bit rough and shows how some people, and I think it's because of his arrogance too, and what he did with Nathaniel Hackett and how unnecessary that was and the whole debacle with Russell Wilson. Like, everyone was making fun of Russell Wilson going into last year. And somehow in that, the way that it was portrayed, how the threats with the contract and the bench and all that stuff did go down, it made Russell Wilson a sympathetic person and a sympathetic figure. And a lot of people were angry with Sean Payton. And now it's a big year too for him. And I would be surprised if they're not starting Bo Nix come game one when you draft him 12th overall.
So we talk a lot about how Mike Tomlin's never had a losing record.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sean Payton has had losing records.
Sure.
But his worst seasons, four different times, were 7-9. Mm-hmm. He's never won fewer than seven games in a season. And he's been coaching for 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
He's a career 620 win percentage with a Super Bowl. Got screwed out of another Super Bowl because of that, you know, non-call, the PI.
Yeah.
Got screwed out, you know, got screwed on a play, you know, the Minneapolis Miracle as well. He has been a great coach. He's 9-8 as a playoff coach. He's been one and done just three times in the in the playoffs. He is a great coach. If we were to look at rosters in the AFC West and in the AFC in general, you would put the Broncos as one of the worst rosters in the AFC last year.
Yeah, fair.
They went 8-9. They went 8-9 with a Russell Wilson who's on the decline of his career, didn't fit the offense.
But
and
Russ
then they
played
had to,
well last year.
Sure.
And he wanted to bench him.
Sure. And they still won eight games, even though he wasn't fitting into Sean's offense. They had a very mediocre or below average roster. And they won eight games in his first year in Denver. He was 9-8 in his last year in New York. He's a great coach. He's not a good coach. He is a great coach.
I think he was a great coach, and now we'll see if he is still a great coach. Because if you want to tell me that Russ isn't your guy, fine. You have every right to do so. But then you picked Bo Nix at 12 when no one thought Bo Nix outside of Sean Payton was deserving of the 12th overall pick, in my opinion. And now he's your guy. We're going to see how great of a coach he is. I'm not crapping on Sean Payton here where I'm saying, oh, you know, he's a terrible coach. He's just rubbed me the wrong way in the last year or so. And now this is a big moment to see if he could get back, I guess, in that circle of trust or in that greatness category. Because sure, 8-9 last year, fine, whatever. I just don't like the way that he handled last season.
Sure, he might be a jerk. He might be cocky. He might be overconfident.
And don't get me wrong. Those are some qualities I actually like in my football coach. But I just don't understand why he took the Broncos job. I really don't.
Yeah.
I know he wanted the Chargers job, and they refused to move on from Staley a year ago. But you left the Saints because he didn't have a quarterback. And then you go to the Broncos, and they paid Russell Wilson a lot. And then you said Russ isn't your quarterback, and now you drafted your quarterback. So to me, I think there's pressure right now on Sean where he's not going to get fired after this season. But you get this year and next year, and by the end of next year, if they're not in the playoffs, you don't think he's the guy to bring them back to the playoffs, then it's tough to then for me to say that this guy is still a great coach in the NFL.
I get that he rubs people the wrong way. Him being all of those things and him making maybe a weird decision to take over the job and not really give the quarterback a chance does not make him a bad coach. It makes him a jerk. It makes him maybe short-sighted in his thinking of the Russell Wilson situation. But as far as being a coach, as far as winning games and being a leader of men on the field, he is a excellent coach. He is a future Hall of Fame coach. He is absolutely better
than I ask you a question?
A top 15 coach or top 18, whatever this list has him at.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I do believe Sean's a better coach than the guy that I'm going to bring up. But he's won a Super Bowl with an all-time great quarterback. And I know, right, there was development with Drew Brees. He was a Pro Bowl quarterback, but no one thought he'd be a top 10, top 15 quarterback of all time. If you're putting Sean in the Hall of Fame, which right now I'd agree with you, I think Sean Payton is a Hall of Famer. Does Mike McCarthy need to be in the Hall of Fame? Won a Super Bowl, been in the playoffs three straight years with Dallas now. If you're putting Sean in, does McCarthy need to be in? Because I think their resumes, just by the stats, are similar.
I mean, they have the exact same win percentage, 620.
I wouldn't call Mike McCarthy a Hall of Fame coach. I think most people wouldn't. But Sean Payton, I think a lot of people are quick to say, yeah, Hall of Fame coach.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the numbers, 11-11 in the playoffs, 620 win percentage, you can make the case for Mike McCarthy. The problem is he's fallen short so many times in the playoffs. It doesn't feel like Sean Payton fell short.
Oh, yeah, he did. Towards the end with Drew Brees, absolutely.
Yeah, but it felt like they were never expected to win later on. And there were a few times where
they lost
to
the Vikings at home.
Which was the Minneapolis miracle. They lost
No.
Oh, the other one.
They lost to the Vikings at home where you had Thielen and I forget who the tight end was that made the catch, but... Yeah, they lost to the Vikings in the Super Bowl.
Shane Cohn? Was that guy?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay. No, I mean, listen, every coach falls short. I get it. Maybe it's just a mental thing, but it feels like Sean Payton has done more with less. And as great as Drew Brees was, it feels like, you know, he had Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, McCarthy.
Well, here's the thing.
I don't know.
When you talk about the Packers, correct me if I'm wrong here, Marco. When you look back at the Packers Super Bowl, The one that they won with Aaron Rodgers. You think of Rodgers first, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the Saints Super Bowl that they won up against Indianapolis, who do you think about first? Is it Brees or is it Payton?
No, it winds up being Payton.
And I agree because of the decision coming out of half.
The onside kick.
With the onside kick.
But it's also because he's loud. That's part of it.
Yeah.
And look, and it was also the Saints, and it's their one Super Bowl, and we expect the Packers to be good. You had Aaron Rodgers. There's a lot of things that it's perception. And that's unfortunate, but it's the way it is. Mike McCarthy never got full credit for what he did with the Packers, got a ton of blame. Sean Payton got all the credit and got none of the blame. When they lost at home in the NFC Championship game to the Rams, oh, it was the pass interference call. It was never Sean Payton's fault, and they fell short a lot in the playoffs. They were favored to go to the Super Bowl a ton, and they didn't get it done. But they got it done once, and Payton gets the credit, and McCarthy got none of it.
All right, here are my top 10 coaches, though, right now, because I see a list, I react to the list. I'll just give you my top 10, and then we'll take a break. 10, I have Matt LaFleur. 9, I have Sean McDermott. 8, I have Kevin Stefanski. 7, I have Dan Campbell. 6, I have Jim Harbaugh. 5, I have Mike Tomlin. 4, I have Kyle Shanahan. We'll get to more on Kyle Shanahan later. 3, John Harbaugh. 2, Sean McVay. And in at number 1, I have Andy Reid. Those are my top 10 coaches entering this season in the NFL. You know, there's just a few people that when you say a certain name on this show or you talk about...
Look around. What do you see? Cars. Lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped, self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day... maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it. AutoTrader.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
About a certain team, it elicits a phone call. Like, whenever I talk about the Raiders, a guy Jay in Alaska will call in. Whenever I talk about Ohio State, you will have Mike in Abilene, Texas. He will call in. There's also a guy, I forget his name, but when I was saying that the Vikings were fraudulent 2 years ago, he would always call in.
Scott.
Scott, yes. Scott would always call in. And then I ultimately ended up being right, and he was annoyed because he thought, like, when you're critical of a team and you say they're good, not great, that drives people crazy. But Adam in Toronto is a crazy, crazy, crazy human being and Bills fan, too. And we were just talking about the Bills and the head coach rankings, and I had Sean McDermott as my 9th best coach in football entering this season. And I guess Sean McDermott is on the naughty list for Adam in Toronto, who is now here with us. Adam, what's shaking, my man?
Zach, what's up, man? Been a long time since I've called you. I miss calling you, man. I still listen to you every day, man. You're the best.
I appreciate
that. Listen, no problem. Listen, whoever put Sean McDermott on their top 10 list needs to be drug tested ASAP. This guy.
So I need to be drug tested.
Yes, yes. Infinity Sports Network needs to sit you down and make you pee in a cup. Because it is ridiculous. Dude, he doesn't deserve to be anywhere near the top 10 list. The sole reason Josh Allen is not a Super Bowl champ yet is because of this bozo. First, he blows a 13-second lead, which I still can't get over, man. It's been almost 3 years. I still am – it hurts me to even see the number 13. And then he runs a Mickey Mouse DeMar Hamlin play in an AFC divisional game because it might be a feel-good story if he makes it. He's a great coach for rebuilding a team. He's a great culture guy. He gets the guys in there. They work hard. They love him. But when it comes down to crunch time, this guy chokes his ass off, and you know it.
Can I just give you a reason why Sean McDermott isn't a bozo? You may have some problems with him, and the 13-second thing is something that is indefensible, and the DeMar Hamlin play was stupid last year. But you know this being a fan of the Buffalo Bills. You guys were a joke. From 2000 to 2016, didn't even make the playoffs.
Correct.
Didn't make the playoffs. This guy comes in 9-7 with Tyrod Taylor, makes the playoffs. They go 6-10 and they miss. Then every year after that, 10-6, 13-3, 11-6, 13-3, 11-6. And not only that, the last time you guys won 13 games was in 1991. He's won 13 games twice. So I can't say he's a bozo, but what it feels like a little bit, and I'm not comparing him directly to this guy, so be careful. I'm going to be careful with the way that I say it. But when Andy Reid was in Philadelphia, Sean McDermott, who knows Andy Reid very well, he feels like he's Andy Reid light with what he's done in Buffalo so far, where he gets you so far, but then he comes up short in the big games. But eventually, you got to hope that he breaks through.
I pray to God every day he breaks through, man. But part of the reason we missed the playoffs was because your stupid Patriots had to go on a dynasty and ruin everybody's Sundays. Like, this guy.
Yeah, but you could have still been a wild card team.
He's a great. Okay, we're poverty before Josh Allen. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
He's a great culture guy, Zach. I'm not denying that. But to say this guy, like, this guy chokes his ass off every year, Zach.
Yeah, and that's why I ranked him ninth. I didn't put him in five. I didn't put him at three. I didn't put him at one. And appreciate the phone call. Good to hear your voice, Adam. And I also, you think I passed that test? Just wondering, Samter. Why do I have to sit down to pee in a cup? I could do so standing up.
I didn't even pick up on that part of it.
I could do so standing up. Imagine they have one of those guys come in that watches you urinate like in the NFL. David Mayernick walks over. All right. Whip it out. Time to pee. Let's go. Drug test for Gelb. I'm trying to think the last time I got drug tested. I don't think I've ever been drug tested for a job.
Yeah, I don't think they do drug testing for, well, I guess they do some, but I think, you know, especially like certain types of drugs have kind of lost their stigma. So, They don't care as much if people use certain things.
Didn't they in Entourage have to do the fake? They had to alter the results of the drug test a little bit?
Don't know.
I think today is the 20th anniversary of Entourage, maybe? Or is it 30? I think it's 20. I think today is the anniversary because during the break, Jeremy Piven was down the hall and I saw him walking around here. And I think it's because it's the 20th anniversary of Entourage. Yeah. Jerry Farrar tweeted out, Entourage aired 20 years ago today. Where does the time go? Changed my life forever, and I miss hanging with these guys.
So not only do you have some mystery guest that you're not going to invite me to whatever event to see this person, but Jeremy Piven, the Jeremy Piven, was hanging around the studios. You didn't even tell me he's here? It's Jeremy Piven.
Hey, I saw him in the studio. It's not like I like booked him or anything or knew he was coming in.
Well, first of all, A, why is he not sitting next to us?
But you're the producer. Maybe you should go walk down there and get him.
I didn't know that he was here. Is he still here?
I don't know by now. Yeah, he was here today.
Yeah, so you should have told me that he was here. Then I could have booked him. But B, forget about booking him. I want to say hello to Jeremy Piven. I'm a huge Jeremy Piven fan.
Okay. Well.
You ever see PCU?
No.
Oh, such a good movie. It's Politically Correct University. It's him, Jon Favreau. Incredible cast, great movie, hilarious college scene movie.
So when I was in college, I think it was, one of my friends was working as a SAT tutor. And in order to get that job tutoring high school kids for the SAT, you had to pass a drug test. Let's just say this friend of mine would be really good friends with Bob Marley, right? Puts you in the right frame of mind on what my friend was potentially dabbling.
He was Jamaican?
No, he was not Jamaican.
He enjoyed music, good music.
Little puff puff pass, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, playing soccer.
Mm-hmm, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, passing this, Messi passing the ball, and I can't name another. Who was the Martinez on? Who was the guy that scored the game-winning goal?
Well, there's Suarez. There's...
No, who was the guy? It was Martinez, right?
Martinez.
Thank you. See, not a little soccer right there. That's the last time. We probably end up talking about soccer for a while. So my friend was in college, right? The peak of college for him. But a very bright kid. And he, you know, just liked to dabble with the ganj a little bit. So he, in the summer, wanted to tutor kids for the SAT. And in order to do so, you had to pass a drug test. So he was not confident that he was going to pass a drug test. So they didn't watch you urinate for this drug test. So he had a friend of mine who does not participate in those activities urinate. You know those mini M&Ms and they come in a tube? Made my friend urinate in the mini M&Ms tube. And then he put that in his pocket, went to the bathroom, and just dumped it in the cup and ended up passing the test and ended up tutoring kids for the SAT that entire summer.
I mean, they probably have to call him back and tell him that he has diabetes or something because the sugar content of his pee was probably through the roof because he put
it
into an M&M.
I think they washed it out beforehand.
Listen, there's always residual. Man, that's dangerous, but that's funny.
Yeah, so that was I did not participate in any of that, just to be clear. I thought it was reprehensible. I thought it was out of line. I told my friends, do not do this. I'm a good soldier. I do everything by the book. Do not participate in those activities. You know, if you can't pass the test, you shouldn't be an SAT tutor. I'm just letting it be known on the record in case if anyone's listening and anyone wants to come after me for this. I had no involvement about this. I just knew about it.
I will say that partaking in that activity should have nothing to do with whether or not you could be a good SAT tutor. I feel like
sure,
I understand
rules
the rule.
Are the rules.
Yeah, I get the rule, but I'm sure your friend, while he illegally passed that test or improperly passed
hey,
that
passed
test.
He passed the test, right?
Right.
His urine
he
in
probably
their
turned
eyes.
Out to be a great SAT tutor.
Could you imagine if whoever runs that, I don't even know what it was, but that program is listening right now, and they're like, oh, wow, we got to now go after this kid. I think it's past the statute of limitations.
You know, if I'm a parent of a kid who did poorly on the test and used this guy as a tutor, that's who's going after him.
Yeah, well, maybe they got high scores.
Or maybe not.
Yeah, if they got low scores, then they're going after him.
Maybe they got screwed by their reach school, and they got screwed by their safety schools and didn't get into the colleges they wanted to.
I sucked,
and then they
by
ended
the
up
way.
Being, you know, a job that they didn't want to have.
I sucked at taking tests when I was in school. The SAT, I did well on the ACT. The SAT, I was just dog crap at. I was fine on the essay, and I was fine on, like, wherever the vocabulary part is, because I knew, like, 20 words that I still use to this day just from what I learned there. But the reading comprehension, trash. The math section, trash. I don't even remember. My SAT score was so low, I don't even remember what it was.
Did you break 1,000?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, well, then that's fine.
Well, it's... Chris, what was the SAT when you were in school?
It was...
2,400?
It turned to 1,600 right as I was about to start taking it, so I only took the ACT.
Okay. Why did I feel like mine was out of 2,400?
It was out of 2,400.
It used to be 1,600, then it switched to 2,400, and then everyone complained, so it went back to 1,600.
Okay. Don't you get 200 for writing your name?
That's a fallacy.
I did write my name correctly, but we're going to Vegas. Santa, you are coming, by the way, just letting that known for the show. And when I went to go submit what flights I wanted to take, I did flight info for Zachary, and I had to do, like, the whole name, L. And then I saw in the headline a day later, I spelled Gelb, G-E-L. I didn't even put the B at the end of it. Like, in the actual email where it says what my name is, and that was all right, but the subject headliner, I forgot to put the B.
As long as you didn't go with Gleb. G-L-E-B. No, you know what?
Telemarketers
I might know this, but I don't know if I know this. What's the L?
Oh, my middle name?
Yeah.
Lazarus.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Your middle name is Lazarus?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah,
that's
why would I lie
awesome.
About that?
No, people lie about their middle names all the time.
Zachary Lazarus Gell.
That's actually kind
my
of
my mom's maiden name.
That's kind of a cool middle name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my middle name.
I'm just going to call you Laz from now on.
Nah.
What up, Laz?
Nah, I don't know if we're going to do that.
Listen, if you can call me M. Mike.
Well, you are. You're Moist Mike.
Yeah, then you're my Laz. What up, Laz?
Just make sure.
Laz Gelb.
All righty. We'll take a time out here on the Zach Gelb Show, the Infinity Sports Network. We'll be coming back. Elijah Molden from the Tennessee Titans is going to join us. Jake Chaney from the Wisconsin Badgers will join us 25 minutes from now. We got a whole lot more to do before we say goodbye to you on a very busy Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb. Laz, Bleg, Gleb show right here on the Infinity Sports Network.
Look around. What do you see?
Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
Listen as Selenia tells us why she chose to vaccinate her daughter.
I definitely felt like the pros far outweighed the cons. The diseases that I am protecting my child against, they're still here. And at the end of the day, it's my job as a mother to keep my child safe.
Talk to your child's doctor and learn more at whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Master outdoor cooking this summer with the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook, the inspiring and practical new guide from Stephen Rinella, host of the Meat Eater podcast and television show. With over 100 recipes for meat, fish, poultry, and game birds, accompanied by lush photography and easy-to-follow tips, the Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook is the ultimate guide to open-air cooking. Whether you've hunted the ingredients yourself or foraged them from the supermarket, because food just tastes better when it's caught, cooked, and eaten outside. The Meat Eater Outdoor Cookbook by Stephen Rinella is available now.